Next week is a big one at the U.S. Supreme Court. Maybe they are all big, but next week features arguments on whether a president, in this case Donald Trump, can be prosecuted for acts in office. Before the justices hear that case, 3 days earlier, Monday, they'll hear arguments in City of Grants Pass versus Gloria Johnson about the city's power or not to tell homeless people not to camp on public property. Reporter Jane Vaughn of JPR News has been tracking the story. She's here to give a preview of oral arguments by catching us up on the details of the case. Jane, welcome to the studio once again.
Good morning.
So oral arguments in a week. Remind people of the journey that started in Grants Pass and will now be heard before the court.
Sure. So the basic question in this case is whether or not cities can enforce their laws that regulate public camping on public property and whether that constitutes cruel and unusual punishment, which is prohibited by the Eighth Amendment. So the original legal argument goes back to October 2018. There's a plaintiff, Deborah Blake, who is a homeless woman in Grants Pass, who is saying that Grants Pass is trying to run homeless people out of town. That's a quote from her complaint. And she has actually since passed away. And so, as you said, Gloria Johnson and John Logan are the plaintiffs in this case. And so basically the argument is that these people were involuntarily homeless in Grants Pass. Grants Pass doesn't have any low barrier shelters that anyone can just walk into and get a bed. And they're saying that they were punished for sleeping outside. They faced citations for camping in the park and fines. And, you know, they were basically arguing that the city's municipal code prohibits camping on public property, and that's violating the Eighth Amendment's cruel and unusual punishment clause because they have nowhere else to go. They're outside. They're getting cited and ticketed and fined. And so in July of 2020, the district court in Medford ruled that Grants Pass's ordinances regulating homelessness were unconstitutional. It's been appealed up to the Ninth Circuit and then all the way up to the Supreme Court. So this has been going on since 2018, so a long time coming.
Which is not unusual for a case to get to the Supreme Court. I want to make sure people keep that idea of low barrier shelter in mind because it's an important point that we'll get to in just a bit. So one argument here, of course, is the belief of the plaintiffs that what the city has been delivering is cruel and unusual punishment, that people are only trying to sleep. I mean, how did Grants Pass deal with homeless people before the trial court ruling?
So according to the city ordinances, they have a couple ordinances about sleeping on public sidewalks and alleyways and streets is prohibited. There's no camping allowed. There's no bedding or sleeping bag allowed. You can't have a tent, a lean-to, or a shack, as they say. You can't sleep in a vehicle. You can't camp in a park. And if you do that, you can get cited for violating those laws. You can get excluded from the park, called the park exclusion. You can be fined. And again, as I said, they do have some shelters in Grants Pass, but they're not low-barrier shelters. And so now we're here going to the Supreme Court.
All right. Well, the city says that since there is some shelter space, what it's doing is not cruel and unusual. What other points does the city make about its ability to deal with or to regulate homeless people in the places they stay?
So they're arguing basically that fines and short jail terms do not count as cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment. They give examples that are a bit older, like being drawn and quartered or burned at the stake. Like that, in their mind, is cruel and unusual punishment. And fines and short jail terms, in their argument, are not on the scale of being cruel and unusual punishment. They also say that the past rulings in this case are basically preventing governments and cities and states from addressing the serious problem of homelessness, sort of tying their hands, giving them fewer options as they're trying to address this homeless crisis. They're trying to address the public health issues, they say, and crime that they say is associated with homelessness. And the previous rulings in this case have really sort of tied their hands. And like I said, it went to the Ninth Circuit Court, and then it's been appealed and appealed up from there. And then the lawyers for Grants Pass also say basically that it's not the court's responsibility to determine whether a person camping in public is doing so involuntarily, whether there are shelter beds available, how to count available shelters. They say that just gets kind of messy. So if you find someone camping, are they involuntarily homeless? Should they be cited? Are there available shelter beds? Where can they go? Like, they're arguing that's basically just not their job. And so they're saying that these previous rulings are barring enforcement of their basic laws. They're trying to protect public health and safety, and that it leads to this threat of litigation, which they're obviously facing now.
Jane Vaughn is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a reporter from JPR News giving us a preview of next week's oral arguments in the Johnson versus Grants Pass or Grants Pass versus Johnson case that will be heard by the Supreme Court on Monday of next week on the 22nd. So what Grants Pass has been doing since the rulings came down, this and another case that we'll get to in just a bit, but is basically saying, okay, well, can't do much here. So in the parks, that people have been staying in the parks.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you mean since the ruling came down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're also facing an injunction, which is kind of another tricky part of it. So they can't enforce their camping ordinances except in one park. So people can now camp in the parks. And so we're kind of waiting to see what happens with these oral arguments. Yeah.
All right, so let's come to the point of the low barrier shelter, because this is one of the finer points here. It does appear to be shelter space. Grants Pass often does have empty shelter beds on many nights, but these are not defined as low barrier shelter beds. How do the two factions in this case see those differently?
Right. So, like I said, there are shelter beds, but the difference is, are they low barrier, meaning anyone can walk in and get a bed? A lot of shelters, you have to be sober, or you can't have a pet, or, you know, they have certain qualifications, which means they're not low barrier. They're not open to everybody. So there is a shelter in Grants Pass called the Gospel Rescue Mission, which has 78 beds for men and 60 beds for women and children. So that is a pretty big shelter, but they also have a list of 29 rules that residents have to abide by while they're staying there. So they can't use drugs and alcohol. They have to attend religious services. If they stay for more than a month, they have to pay for food. So that's not a low-barrier shelter. There are people who you know, don't want to stay there, can't stay there. And then there's some other smaller shelters. There's a women's crisis support team that has a safe house for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. There's Hearts with a Mission, which has four beds for 18 to 21-year-olds who follow certain rules. And there's Foundry Village, which is a bunch of tiny homes. But number one, they're not low-barrier shelters. And number two, the sheer scale of the problem is difficult. So 78 men's beds, 60 beds for women and children at Gospel Rescue Mission. We've got 13 beds, 4 beds, 17 beds at those other shelters. And the last count that I've heard is there's an estimated 1,200 homeless people in the city. So even if they were all low-barrier shelter beds, there's still not enough shelter beds for the sheer number of people who are unhoused in Grants Pass.
There's been quite a parade of amicus or friend of the court briefs filed by various entities and individuals taking sides and saying why. More than 80, I noticed at last count. Are there some notable amicus briefs coming in City of Grants Pass versus Johnson?
For sure. And yeah, you're right. There are a ton. I counted 84 last time I counted, which is so many. So they are split about evenly in terms of which side they're on. The party that's filing usually will take a side. So they're about split evenly. And then there are some that are in favor of neither party. So the person writing in just wants to sort of offer their thoughts on the case and not take a side. So on the side of the City of Grants Pass, there's a brief filed by 24 states, including Idaho and Montana. And again, they're basically arguing that earlier court rulings are infringing on their authority to try and address homelessness policy and enforce the law. This is making it more difficult for them. Six members of Congress have also weighed in saying something similar. And there's another brief from 13 California cities as well. And then on the other side, on the side of the homeless in Grants Pass, we have briefs from the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, National Homelessness Law Center, and the Oregon Food Bank. And again, they're arguing that people are being punished when they have nowhere else to go, when they're just trying to, do unavoidable human acts like staying warm and sleeping in public. They're saying that violates the Eighth Amendment. There's also a brief from a bunch of social scientists who say they've published research on homelessness, and they say that enforcing these anti-homeless laws can actually have negative impacts on people who are experiencing homelessness, and it creates barriers to them exiting homelessness because then they rack up fines, jail time, they've got a record, they can't pay the fines, and then it's harder to get a house in the future as well.
Not to take this too far into the political realm, it's already there, but California Governor Gavin Newsom put a brief in, or actually mm-hmm. two. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this case, as I said, has been going on for years and years. He had filed a brief in September of 2023 that was actually in favor of the City of Grants Pass on their side. Again, saying that these rulings have tied local leaders' hands and their safety concerns with homelessness and all these things. But in the Supreme Court case, more recently, he filed a brief in March of 2024 in favor of neither party. So maybe that's a sign of priorities changing in California. And California obviously is, an important state to talk about when we talk about this, because almost a third of all people in the country who are homeless live in California. So it's a huge, huge problem there. And so the governor, Gavin Newsom, wrote that you know, homeless people should not be punished for sleeping outside when they have nowhere else to go. But again, saying that these court decisions have made it harder to enforce basic health and safety measures. And it's also hard to makes it harder to move people into shelters where they can get connected to services. So he's really in favor of neither party and kind of straddling that line with his brief.
Jane Vaughn, JPR News, is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange as we take a look in advance at the oral arguments of the Grants Pass versus Johnson case coming to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, on Monday, the 22nd. So the precedent here, there was an earlier case that came out of the city of Boise, which pretty much the same result for the city and other cities, too.
Yeah, so Martin versus the city of Boise is from 2018, and they basically found that under the Eighth Amendment, cities can't punish homeless people for sleeping on public property when they can't get shelter. So very similar to the current case. Basically, a local homeless shelter had closed in Boise and people were cited for sleeping on public property. And then they sued. And, you know, same thing. The ordinance was punishing people for sleeping outside when they have nowhere else to go. And that's the precedent that we're really looking at for this current case as well.
But there's another one mentioned in here, I noticed, a 1962 case, Robinson versus California. It's not about homeless people specifically, but why is it perceived as potentially having a bearing on this case?
Yeah, that case is Robinson versus California, and that's from 1962, so we're going back a little bit. And it's basically saying that it's unconstitutional for a state to punish someone for being a drug addict, which is a status rather than an act, like committing a crime. So it can be illegal to do things, like possess drugs, buy drugs, but the simple status of being a drug addict or an alcoholic or whatever the case may be cannot be a crime. And so in this case, the side of the homeless argue that Grants Pass's actions have effectively made it a crime to be homeless in the city. So they're arguing that that is illegal because they're effectively punishing the status of being homeless in Grants Pass. On the other side, the city is arguing that this case has nothing to do with status. People are just being punished because they're violating the city's public camping laws.
All right, so it's the actions that they're punishing, not the status.
That's the city's argument. Yes.
Okay. Now, Oregon state law, Jane, passed within the last few years, affect how cities like Grants Pass approach issues of homeless people on public property. Correct.
Right. So that law was House Bill 3115. It was passed in 2021 in the midst of this case, and basically says that if you're going to regulate where homeless people can rest or sleep on public property, you have to be, quote, objectively reasonable in how you do that. They don't really explain what objectively reasonable means, but Oregon does have this state law on the books, and so a lot of, you know, cities and towns throughout the state have been working on that recently of trying to make sure that there are objectively reasonable, they're called time, place, and manner restrictions on where you can camp on public property.
Which the city of Medford, among others, has made some use of. I mean, it's been able to pull some of the people out of places they were camping publicly.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, Medford's been working on this. Ashland's been working on this. You know, the state has to follow this state law now while we're still waiting to hear what the Supreme Court is going to say. And so, like I said, the state of Oregon has been developing its own policies, you know, in individual cities and towns since this law came out. And now we'll wait to see what the Supreme Court says.
And who do we know about who's going to be delivering the oral arguments for the two sides before the court on Monday?
So for the city of Grants Pass, it's Theanae Evangelis, who's an attorney. She's based in L.A. And then on the other side, representing the homeless, it's Ed Johnson from Oregon Law Center. And then I also see Kelsey Brown Corcoran, who's with the Institution for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection in D.C. So I haven't spoken with her much yet, but those are the two sides that'll be speaking on Monday.
Now, obviously, we still don't have cameras in the Supreme Court, but we do have audio mm-hmm. delivered from the session.
Yes.
So will you be sitting there with headphones on?
Yes.
Through the morning on Monday?
Bright and early, yeah. So they're starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time, which means I'll be here by 7 a.m. Pacific time. And I'm really curious to see how they're going to make this case. It is such a national issue, obviously, homelessness. And Grants Pass is a small town in rural Oregon, so it's just funny that it's sort of made its way all the way to the Supreme Court. But really could have implications for how we regulate homelessness across the country. And again, it's the Supreme Court, so they can kind of decide, you know, whatever they want to do. But if they say that the Eighth Amendment does prohibit certain things, then that's the law of the land, and no city in the country would be able to do that specific thing. So we'll have to really see what the Supreme Court chooses to do. It really depends on how broadly or how narrowly they choose to rule or what issues they decide to take up. It is important to say that they are focusing specifically on the Eighth Amendment and the punishments that are given to people. They're not ruling in really on this time, place, and manner restriction thing, the ability to sweep a camp, things like that kind of get conflated, and that is a separate issue. So it's interesting to see what they're going to say when they hear the case.
The court can always surprise by whether it decides
exactly.
It narrowly on the facts of the case or goes broad and says, no, this has got to change this
right.
way. But we'll just see. It'll be, and we won't know that day, but we'll get some indications from the questioning
yes.
and the statements
yeah.
of the justices. Jane Vaughn will be covering that for JPR News. That'll be on Monday the 22nd. Jane, thanks for giving us a preview of the arguments in Grants Pass versus Johnson on Monday.
Sure. Thank you.